Hello and welcome to the Manological Podcast, Series 6, Episode 4. Coming up on this week's pod, we hear about our school orchestra and eco team. We also have features on new movies, Premier League football managers, fascinating underwater creatures, musicians, cuisines, and an interesting rundown of the top 5 UK primary schools. Plus, our teacher interview is with Year 5 maths and form teacher, Mr. Yeldon. But before that, we of course had the very exciting Manalodge space balloon launch on Monday, and while it began its journey promisingly, this time it unfortunately was unsuccessful. But it provided a perfect learning opportunity and reflected the true reality of science, and it was great to hear the children considering what might have caused the balloon not to reach the height expected.
I think that the space balloon launch went wrong because there was too little helium in the balloon.
I think it didn't work because the air was pushing it that way.
I think it was more than the weight at the bottom of the end. The balloon couldn't hold the weight at the bottom because the weight at the bottom was too heavy.
I think that there was a leak in the helium balloon, which led it to going down.
I think it was too heavy for the balloon.
Yeah.
And some of the helium might
have been. I think they miscalculated the weight of the balloon, so it dipped downwards.
There was so much equipment at the bottom, it would have weighed it down more.
I think they made their calculations a bit wrong for the weight capacity of the box.
At least the balloon went the right direction.
It was a good start for it because you don't always get it first try.
And we can see what went wrong so we can fix it.
The good thing is we can try it again.
And learn from our mistakes.
Absolutely, some fantastic suggestions, and I know the Space Balloon Club have been busy working on their theories and preparing for our next attempt in the coming weeks. Now, on with this week's episode. First, here are Seb, Dylan and Sonia from Year 4 to tell us about the Manalodge School Eco Team.
Hi, my name is Seb.
Hello, my name is Dylan.
And my name is Sonia.
And today we are going to be talking about the Eco Team.
So, do you actually know what Manalodge Eco Team really is?
The Eco Team helps the environment, for example, recycling, not cutting down trees and planting more plants.
We have started keeping apple cores, banana peels and lots more. Why? Well, some Year 6s are collecting all these peels and cores to compost them so it does not go to waste.
Around a term ago, we got chickens from Manalodge School.
Mr. Kitley is our outdoor learning teacher and he helps plan the Eco Team meetings.
Each year, Mr. Kitley tells everyone that some people in classes should volunteer to be part of the Eco Team.
In the end, someone gets chosen by voting and the Eco Team... And are in the eco team. Here are one important tip about the environment to always remember.
We should be recycling unsustainable things so there is no more pollution in the sea.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. And remember to
rate,
like,
subscribe,
and tell your friends.
Sonia is back now to also tell us about the school's orchestra.
Hello, my name is Sonia, and today I will be telling you about the school orchestra. It starts at 8 a.m. and ends at 8:30. I am in orchestra, and right now we are practicing for the spring concert. We have learnt 3 songs so far, Kalinka, The Great Escape, and Yellow Submarine. Some of these pieces are from movies, because the concert is going to be movie themed. There are lots of people in orchestra, and they all play one instrument, such as violin, cello, viola, clarinet, flute, French horn, trumpet, trombone, saxophone and drums. Miss Beebe is the conductor, Miss Freeman the drama teacher, Mr. Coderbuck the school piano and cello teacher, and Mr. Carey the school violin, viola and piano teacher join in and help. We all play together and sometimes people have solos. Some solos are loud, but some solos are quiet, so it is hard to hear. We all enjoy playing music in different ways and helping each other when they are new. I personally think that playing my violin in orchestra is sometimes hard, but also fun. Thank you for listening about my part of the podcast. And remember to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends. Bye!
Next, here are Noah, Dabari and George from Year 5 with a rundown of the most successful Premier League football managers.
Hi, I'm Dabari.
I'm George.
And I'm Noah. And today we are going to tell you the most successful football managers in the Premier League
after Jurgen Klopp has announced he will be leaving Liverpool at the end of the season.
For number five, we have Jurgen Klopp. He has announced his decision to step down as Liverpool manager at the end of the current season, having informed the club's ownership of his wish to leave his position when the 2023-24 campaign comes to a close. He is 56 years old and he was born on 16th of June 1967. Liverpool will always remember him.
For number four, we have Jose Mourinho. He managed Chelsea for 5 years and Man United for 2.5 years at Chelsea. At Chelsea, he won 6 trophies, but in his career, he has won 26. He has a very high temper and is very enthusiastic about football. He is 61 years of age and has a son called Mario Mourinho and his wife is called Matilda Farrier. He has recently managed Rome in Italy, where he won the UEFA Conference League.
For number three, we have Pep Guardiola. Josep Pep Guardiola Sala is a Spanish professional football manager and former player who is currently the manager of Premier League club Manchester City. Guardiola was born and raised in the small town of San Pedro, just north of Manresa, in northeastern Spain. His father, a bricklayer, was a homemaker. Guardiola is the only manager to win the Continental Treble twice, the youngest to win the UEFA Champions League, and he also holds the records for the most consecutive league games won in La Liga, the Bundesliga and the Premier League. He is considered to be one of the greatest managers of all time.
For number four, we have Arsene Wenger, and had many nicknames during his career. His football buddies in his teenage years called him Petit, which means small in French. Apparently, his growth genes started acting up late after he turned 16. Born in Strasbourg and raised in Dolitem, Arsene Wenger joined the third division side in Mutzing in 1969 after being introduced to football by his father, the manager of the local team. The club was most famous for playing the best amateur football in Alaska.
For number one, the one you have all been waiting for, we have Alex Ferguson. The 82-year-old Man United legend was at Man United managing for 26 seasons, where he won 2 European Cups, 13 Premier League titles, 5 FA Cups, 4 League Cups, the European Cups Winners' Cup, the European Super Cup, the Intercontinental Cup and the FIFA Club World Cup. He also won the treble in the season 1998-1999, where Man United won the Champions League, the Premier League and the FA Cup. He was raised in Gavon, near Glasgow, where he was born on the 31st of December 1941. His father was a plater's helper in the shipping industry. Now Alex lives happily in Glasgow.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. Remember to like, rate, subscribe and tell your friends.
Now, Laksh in Year 4 has a list of the top 5 musicians in his opinion, which fortunately features my personal favourites that I share a name with.
Hi, I'm Laksh, and today I'll be talking about the best 5 musicians and bands in my opinion. First is Oasis. This band is popular around the globe and has lots of musicians involved, such as Liam and Noel Gallagher, Paul Arthurs, Tony McCarroll, Jem Arter and more. Oasis split in 2009 after a backstage bust-up between arch-nemesis siblings Liam and Noel at their final concert in Paris. Number four is Taylor Swift. Now she is an incredible artist and has got songs like Shake It Off, Red, Cool Summer, London Boy, Love Story, Bad Blood, and Look What You Made Me Do. Taylor Swift has a tour called the Eras Tour streaming from the 17th of March to the 8th of December, and she's performing 44 songs. Next is Tom Grennan. He is a superstar with songs like How Does It Feel, Lionheart, All These Nights, Remind Me, Not Over Yet, and a Little Bit of Love. He trained to be a professional football player for Luton, Northampton Town, Aston Villa and Stevenage, but sadly got dropped and decided to switch to a musician instead. Two is Harry Styles. He has lots of phenomenal songs such as It Was, Watermelon Sugar, Late Night Talking, Adore You, Fine Line and Sign of the Times. He used to play a part in a very famous band called One Direction and had songs that, and some of them were Perfect and Best Song Ever. Finally, my personal favourite, Ed Sheeran. He is famous for his songwriting and his guitar playing with songs like Bad Habits, Shivers, American Town, You Need Me, I Don't Need You, Lego House, Give Me Love. Here are some facts about him. He named his guitars. He loves playing with Lego. He's a big fan of animals. His favourite board game is Monopoly. He loves to dress up. His nickname is Teddy, and he has a brush with royalty. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. And remember to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye!
Over to Aria, Layla, Suriana, and Suri now, who have picked out the top five cuisines.
Hello and welcome.
My name is Layla.
My name is Suri.
My name is Aria.
And my name is Suriana.
Today we're going to tell you about the top five best cuisines in our opinion.
Number five, Mexican. In a Mexican cuisine, there can be nachos, tacos, and many more.
Number four, Chinese. In a Chinese cuisine, there can be noodles, egg fried rice, tofu, and many more.
Number three, Greek. In a Greek cuisine, there can be ajero, souvlaki, tzatziki, and for dessert, baklava, and many more.
Number two, Indian. In an Indian cuisine, there can be dosa, paratha, dal, and many more.
Last but not least,
number one, Italian.
In an Italian cuisine, there can be pizza,
pasta,
soups, salad, risotto, seafood,
and many more.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. Don't forget to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends.
Next, we have Dylan with some fascinating underwater creatures.
Hello, my name is Dylan. And today I'm going to talk about the top five most fascinating underwater creatures. Let's head over to number five, sea angle. Sea angles live a truly sheltered life. They are born with shells, but they lose them as they grow to adulthood. Once they mature and transform into their adult form, they transform like a caterpillar, turns into a butterfly, but don't confuse them with sea butterflies. Number four. The giant isopod. Giant isopods is a cousin of crabs and shrimp lobs. Can be tiny or huge. The giant isopod grows up to 16 inches, making the largest isopod, while the smallest isopods are just millimeters long. Number three, sea pig. The animals commonly known as sea pigs are in fact a type of sea cucumber. Sea cucumbers are a group of marine animals that include sea urchins and starfish. Sea pigs are found in all over the world oceans. In some areas, they comprise more than 95% of the total weight of animals on the deep sea floor. Number two, flapjack octopus. The flapjack octopus eats worms and other small invertebrates that live hidden in the sea floor. To find their prey, it probes the seafloor with its small sucker discs and curry on its flap webbed arm to stir up sediment and morsels hidden in the mud. Number one, Japanese spider crab. Japanese spider crabs are the largest of all arthropods and have shells that range from orange to tan colour, have long legs and can be as long as round, 13 feet from claw to claw tip. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast.
Now, Alec Keaton in Year 4 has done some research into the best UK primary schools. presumably we already should be very familiar with one of them.
Hello, I'm Ada Keaton, and today I'll be telling you the top five primary schools in the UK. In number five, we have Bevington School. Bevington School is a state school located in Bevington Road, London, UK. They have a climbing frame with a playhouse for the kids, a library, a smart hall, and lots of grounds. Number four is Mayflower School. Mayflower Primary School is also located in London and was founded in 1843. So that means the school is 181 and it is still visited. Wow! And at the final three, we have Copthorne. Copthorne's location is in Bradford and looks rather like a house instead of a school. But it looks really good from the outside and also has a climbing frame. The school has 526 pupils. Number two is Winton School. The school looks really big and was found in 1966. And that means the school is 58 years old. So the school is still young and it's located in London. And last but not least, Manor Lodge School. Manor Lodge School was found in 1991. And I chose this because the school is amazing. The hall is very big and also the lessons are fun. Thank you for listening to my podcast and don't forget to rate, like and subscribe.
Over to Noah and Harry in Year 5 now to tell us about some recent movies.
Hi, I'm Harry.
Hi, I'm Noah.
And today we're going to tell you the newest movies in the cinema 2024. Our first one is Wonka. Wonka is a 2023 musical fantasy film directed by Paul King, who co-wrote the screenplay with Simon Farnaby, based on a story by King. It tells the origin story of Willy Wonka, a character in the 1964 novel Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by Roald Dahl. Featuring his early days as a chocolatier, Wonka, Timothy Chalamet portrays a 22-year-old Willy Wonka, even though the actor himself is older.
Our second film is Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget. Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget is a 2023 British animated comedy film directed by Sam Fell from a screenplay written by Carey Kirkpatrick, John O'Fowle and Rachel Tunnard, based on a story conceived by Kirkpatrick and O'Fowle. While there's some use of CGI, Dawn of the Nugget retains Aardman's trademark stop-motion clay animation. Sculpting those birds takes time and patience for crowd scenes. More than 800 chicken wings were made and more than 150,000 feathers were hand-painted. Most of the clay puppets each have a set of 14 mouths.
Our next one is Migration. A family of ducks decide to leave the safety of New England Pond for an adventurous trip to Jamaica. However, their well-laid plans go awry and when they get lost and wind up in New York City. The experience soon inspires them to expand their horizons, open themselves up to a new friend, and accomplish more than they ever thought possible.
Wish is inspired by Disney's centennial, trying together a theme of most Disney films, Wishes Coming True. The film is noted to be the origin story for the Wishing Star. Julia Michaels and Benjamin Rice wrote the songs, while frequent Disney orchestra Dave Metzger composed the score.
Our next one is Super Mario Brothers. Since the green Yoshi is the most popular and most visible version of the character, it's likely that his exclusion is deliberate, with the green one possibly living elsewhere on the island before found or accidentally hatched during the events of the movie.
Our next movie is Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom premiered at a fan event at The Grove, Los Angeles on December the 19th, 2023 and was released in the United States on December the 22nd. The formerly villainous kin undergoes a redemption arc in Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom stealing the show. Arthur enlists the help of his half-brother to stop Black Manta's destructive quest for vengeance.
Our next one is Family Switch. As reported by Tudum by Netflix, the Walker family story is not just about the exchange of two bodies, but six bodies at once. Interestingly, the French bulldog belonging to the Walk family is also involved in the body swap in this film. The dog named Pickles was swapped body with one of the Walker family members.
Our next movie is The Monkey King. It's based on the classic novel Journey to the West, which was written in the 1600s during the Ming Dynasty. The novel, attributed to author and politician Wu Cheng'en, is a fantastical rendition of the real-life story of a 7th-century Buddhist monk called Zhang Zhang, who journeyed to India in search of sacred texts.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. Bye. Hope you watch
all these movies.
And finally, we have our teacher interview with Mr. Yeldon. Here are Noah, Dabari and George putting the questions to him.
Hi, I'm Noah.
I'm George.
And I'm Dabari. We would like to introduce you to our maths and form teacher, Mr. Yeldon, who we are going to be interviewing today.
Good afternoon, boys. Sorry.
How many schools have you taught at?
I have taught at 5 schools.
Whoa. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in St. Albans.
Oh.
Have you been a secondary school teacher?
I haven't. No, I have. I've had little placements in secondary schools, but I've taught almost exclusively in primary schools.
Mm. What is your favourite sport?
To play is definitely hockey. Mm. I continue to play hockey for St Albans. To watch, that's a tricky one. I do like watching hockey, but I also like watching football. I'd say probably football to watch and hockey to play.
Mm. What school did you go to?
So I went to schools in St Albans. The secondary school I went to was Beaumont School, which we did have someone at Manor Lodge that went to last year.
We went to Beaumont School for Harry Jaffe's party.
There you go.
What is your favourite food?
Ooh, so many foods. I'm a big fan of food generally, and I'm always happy to try any foods out there, but I would say, if push comes to shove, I would always go for a curry. I do like a curry.
What was your favourite subject in school?
I loved school. I loved pretty much all the subjects. I really loved learning. It's easier for me to say what I didn't like than what I did like, to be honest with you. I would say that I was never the greatest in things like sewing and knitting and fabric work and that kind of thing. That was never my strength.
Like DT.
But I did like quite a lot of DT. That when you're making things and woodwork and metalwork, that sort of thing, I did enjoy. Everything else, I always really, really enjoy it. That's part of the reason I went into primary school, is because I really like so many different subjects. And I have to say, the longer I've been a teacher, the more that computing has come into it. So it's fantastic to see you guys doing this kind of thing. Mm. For a podcast, because not only the more media side of things, but also coding, the way you use metacoding, things like Scratch and various other coding languages, which didn't really exist when I first started teaching. Seeing that develop is really, really fantastic. So, yeah, but everything really. I would have been very, very, very jealous. Well, I am jealous that you've had the opportunity to do that now, because I would have loved to have done that when I was your age at school. Mm. We didn't really have that sort of thing going on with computers.
What is your favourite subject as well as maths?
I have a master's degree in history, so I do love a bit of history, I have to say. But I love literacy as well. I love reading books and I love just talking about books. I'll be honest with you, I'm not the world's greatest artist. At the start of the year, the teachers had an opportunity to, we had a day when all the teachers got together and we were modelling clay, which I really enjoyed, but I would say I was sort of somewhere down the bottom of the group in terms of how good my clay model turned out. But I love learning about art, and I love art history as well. Mm. Again, all subjects really. I love science actually as well, I should have mentioned. I do love a bit of science.
If you could have another job, what would it be?
Good question. So I haven't always been a teacher. Before being a teacher, I worked in law. My fancy title was retroactive media rights litigator. So I was someone that used to negotiate rights for film and TV, music mostly. And I did enjoy that, although working in the media is a bit of a funny job because you never know quite. It's not the most stable of positions, things kind of change quite quickly, and I don't like working in environments where you can't really predict things. But there were days on the job that I really did enjoy, especially when you got to meet famous people and talk to people about the careers they'd have, famous performers, famous songwriters, sometimes famous directors, things like that. That was very nice working with. So if I could go into that and not have some of the stress that came with that job, I'd quite happily go back into that. But I do get a lot of satisfaction from being teachers. I'm in no great hurry to leave teaching at the moment.
Did you always want to be a teacher?
Well, as I say, I had a different job before, but what got me into teaching was my wife, who has always been a teacher since she was, left university. And as I got more and more frustrated with the job I was doing, she convinced me that it would be a good thing to give teaching a go. And first of all, I went into her school and did a little bit of voluntary teaching at her school, and then from that I sort of grew to love it more and more and more, and that's what encouraged me to become a teacher eventually.
What's been the most successful thing in your life?
In my entire life?
Yeah.
Well, I cannot be a teacher of children and say anything other than having a child and raising a child. It's such a massive thing in anybody's life, and mm-hmm. that's certainly changed my and my wife's lives for the better. It's been a fantastic experience, so definitely that, I would say. In terms of other achievements in my life, I've always been proud of my academic achievements. I've had I got a first for my master's degree, which I was very proud of. I got into lots of good universities. I ended up going to Cambridge to do an educational research degree at Cambridge University, so I'm very proud of doing that as well. But you know, there's also lots of little small things that you don't expect to be really proud of. Maybe you've had a real impact with certain children at certain points, of people that have come away from a lesson and got an idea that they didn't think they were going to get, and those can be some of the mm-hmm. best moments in your life as well.
Yeah. Do you have any hobbies?
I have as many hobbies as I can fit in, which is not that many, unfortunately. But I still play hockey. I play basketball when I can, when I'm not injured. I read as much as I can. I still like going to the theatre and going to the cinema. And I like sort of quizzes and problem solving and things like that. So I like trying to sort of solve little quizzes or when I've got sort of 5-10 minutes. And if I have any time, I do play the piano, not particularly well. I do try and keep that going when I can as well.
Thank you, Mr. Yeldon, for doing an interview with us.
Thank you very much for interviewing me. It's been
Thank you very much indeed. We will hopefully be able to squeeze in one final episode of this series before the Easter break, so make sure you subscribe to receive it straight to your device when it's released. We finish off, as always, with music. Our intro music this week was created on GarageBand by Dabari, Harry and Luke in Year 5. And now to close the episode, here is one of our young musicians from Year 2 playing Molly Dolly on the violin.